Welcome to the SDG LearnCast with me, Pauline Duman. In every episode, I bring you insightful conversations around the subject of sustainable development and learning, helping us all to achieve a sustainable future. Today, we will be talking about artificial intelligence and how it can help us achieve a sustainable future. But is it really possible? To answer these questions, we have the best guest with us today, Ms. Jean Lim. She is the co-founder and CEO of Being AI, and she is also the former CEO and CMO of Hanson Robotics and co-developer of Sophia, the human-like robot. Welcome to the SDG LearnCast, Jean.
Thank you so much, Pauline. It's great to be here.
Jean, can you tell us about yourself and your journey to the AI or the artificial intelligence world?
Sure. So I spent 20 years in the tech industry. I was involved in companies like Apple, Dell, Cisco, basically doing consumer marketing and also technology marketing for enterprise and consumer tech companies. So I had a couple of epiphanies during which I went and became a voluntary yoga teacher and also went to study my doctoral degree in energy medicine. But my journey into AI started when I surreptitiously joined this company, Hanson Robotics, and that was back in 2015. And I joined the company totally by accident. I wasn't super interested in robotics and wasn't super interested in sci-fi, but I was introduced to the company's founder, and then I was really fascinated by their ambition to create very human-like robots that will help us create better solutions to change the world in positive ways. I worked with the founder to co-create Sophia the robot, and the biggest learning that I have is when we take her around to meet, people connect very emotionally and deeply with her. They see her as somebody, I'm using somebody there, who is very non-judgmental, who is very neutral, and doesn't come with a human baggage. And so people like would pour their hearts out to her and tell her their wishes, desires, secrets. And so I realized that if we design AI in the right way and make them establish positive relationship with people, they could really inspire people to learn and evolve and actually become better versions of themselves. So AI and human could work together and actually maximize each other's potential. And so this is the reason why I then started my own company. And one of the reasons is because robotics is hard. There's a lot of mechanical issues. It will take many years for her to stand up and sit down. Those are real issues. But for me, I'm more interested in psychology and human AI interaction from that standpoint, which is why I started Being AI, to create artificially intelligent beings that are deployed virtually that could interact with people in all sorts of ways to build engagement and trust over time.
What's really interesting with your answer is that, of course, you used somebody. So it's really that interaction between robots, humans, and AI, and how people are also interacting with Sophia, the robots, but also the artificial intelligent beings that you created with your company. There's a lot of discussions, some fears that artificial intelligence and robots can potentially reinforce issues such as racism, discrimination against women, and other inclusion issues. What do you think can be done about this? What are you doing as the head of this company, being a pioneer in this area? How are you addressing these issues when it comes to artificial intelligence?
Sure. There are a lot of important issues that are already happening with AI, because AI could scale something so quickly that if there's inherent bias in the data, then it could scale a million times before you actually catch those biases. So that's one thing. So in terms of data, I think we have to be very cognizant now, because most of the time when people talk about AI, they talk about machine learning. Although from my perspective, that is not the full picture of artificial intelligence. Machine learning is only the data-driven part of it that learns and predicts. But most people now are investing in machine learning, and they're talking about machine learning because there's so much data in the world. So we have to be cognizant about where the data, first, actually, the definition of the data that we're trying to collect, and then where the data is coming from, and then how it's being interpreted. So actually, every step of the process, you need people who actually have that holistic view to look into. It's if you have some garbage from the top of the mountain, and then by the end of it, you could be collecting a lot of garbage, except AI would scale it like 100 million times faster. So I think to that end, mindset is probably, to me, the most important thing to address. I actually personally believe that 99% of the problems in the world is created by mindset. So it needs people to think that AI is not some far just technology that an AI scientist and developer is developing and we're just users. We actually should be proactively and actively participating in the nurturing, training, and the commercialization and creation of AI.
And how are you contributing also to the global governance? Because I understand it depends on how you clean the garbage in your example, right?
Yeah. Okay. So I think there's two parts of it. One is the AI ethics, which to me, it's more the legal framework. So it's an external construct, and Europe is probably ahead in the way it's looking at data privacy with GDPR and so forth, to limit also unintended consequences and to limit the black box effect. So in Europe, if you apply for a loan and you get turned down, the bank is responsible for explaining to you why you can't turn down. They can't say that, oh, the AI turned you down, and then just forget about it. You're actually legally required to explain it. So that's one thing. I think the legal framework is evolving. It's probably not as fast as the technology is evolving, but it's getting there. The other part, which I personally feel strongly about, is the moral framework. So to me, that's an internal construct. And this is related to the human mindset. So by moral framework, I mean that I could not do something that's illegal to someone, but still do something that's hurtful, right? I will not be punished by law, but it's actually something that is actually pretty bad for that particular person. So what I want is to create a way for well-intended humans to train our AI to develop a understanding of what is harmful and what is not harmful, what is supportive and positive for humankind. And they could actually directly train our AI. The system that we've developed is a person could just chat with the AI being and teach them concepts, teach them behavior, and teach them what is right and wrong so that they actually learn transparently. And you could actually ask them to unlearn. So that's one thing. The other thing is, I'm still thinking about it, but I actually want everybody who has that access into the global training of our AI system to take a wisdom test. It's like when you go to a doctor, you hope that the doctor is certified. They take their exam every year. And this is the same way. I think it is really beneficial for humans to train AI, but we can't right now open everything up so that everybody could train the AI. It's like when you become a parent, you have to be a responsible parent. If not, then you know they might put your child into like social care because you you did something illegal. I think in the same way, we could actually make that analogy for the AI being, because AI being is our baby. So we need to nurture and train it in the right way so that when it becomes autonomous in making decisions, it would have a moral framework to make the right decision at every crossroad. And then I think we would have a better future when AI becomes super intelligent.
And for me, what I take from what you said is that it's basically similar to being a parent, and also not just being a parent, but also being a friend. If you speak and talk to the AI and tell them what is for you wrong and what is right, I think that also applies to everyone. I think it's always, the message is always, it's a constant discourse. It's a constant dialogue.
That's why we created our AI beings to be accessible anywhere, anytime through a transmedia network. So it shouldn't matter whether you're in the car or in a building or just with a mobile phone or anywhere, you should actually be able to access an AI being. It's just like your best friend. I mean, it really doesn't matter where you are. You should be able to call them, text them, email them, or actually just go travel with them. So this is what builds over time continuous engagement, understanding, and then trust over time.
It's also about accessibility. So you said, of course, you're trying your best to make the being AIs to be accessible to everyone. But I think with the advancement of technologies, there is always an issue of a digital divide. When I read that a number of businesses were actually created by artificial intelligence, I was so surprised. Mm-hmm. They know the rules and the procedure, and so they were able to do these steps. So in a way, I was thinking, okay, there could be a possibility that inequality might, again, be a problem. So, mm-hmm. of course, we want to make sure that we are not creating more problems for mm-hmm. the future when we are implementing anything related to artificial intelligence. And I really want to hear about your thoughts about how can we make sure that access to artificial intelligence will really be a bit more equal?
So I used to think that, oh, statistics, it's good because it takes the average of everything and median of everything, and that should be like a randomized segment of population, though, so that's good. The problem is, historically, things haven't been fair. So an example is I was working with a company who was doing cultural and history data set, who's building a data set of women in history. So the way, when the AI went and looked for a lot of texts about women, it talks about all these women being prostitutes or like being the wife of these leaders or just helpers, assistants. So basically the data set then identifies women as more in these kind of subservient roles or secondary roles versus men. But the AI isn't wrong, because right now we're using that statistically. But the problem is, then I learned that actually when there's extraordinary circumstances, you need extraordinary measures. So instead of just following statistics and what happened in history, we actually have to make extra effort, 10 times more effort, to make sure that there's diversity in the data now, because that's going to affect what's happening in the future. So there's actually nothing wrong with bringing in, I don't know, 9 women and 9 men, even though not maybe not 9 women and 9 men, rather than what might be the statistical thing, which would be 9 men and 1 woman, just to bring them in to make sure that data is diverse as possible, or 9 different countries. So actually to proactively pull in cultures and genders that are not represented today by statistics. I think that is something that we have to do proactively.
And you already mentioned an example on how artificial intelligence bridged the gap between gender divide. And maybe you could also share with us some of the examples or some of your visions on how artificial intelligence can help us achieve a more sustainable future.
Sure. So actually, a good of information is McKinsey. So McKinsey published this really comprehensive study about how there's 160 different applications of AI that could help in the 17 SDGs. And the reason why I think it's better to point to that is because AI is a foundational technology. It's basically a tool that you use for many things. You could automate things, you could scale things that are high volume, high frequency, and repetitive, and you could actually use it to recognize patterns that are hidden. So this applies to everything, including the SDGs. So what I want to say is there's many foundational technologies in AI. If somebody is creative enough, they could apply it to the specific SDG goal or their specific social enterprise or NGO. So I wanted to encourage them to look at the McKinsey report to be inspired by how all these different technologies can apply in many different ways to distribute resources better, to optimize production.
And Jean, we have a lot of young listeners in this mm-hmm. podcast. And I think a lot of them are, of course, interested in artificial intelligence, as this is part of our future. And it's going to be more and more relevant what would be your message to our young listeners on how to prepare for the future living with artificial intelligence and what kind of mindsets, as you mentioned, and skills they would need to be ready for a future where we live with artificial intelligence?
Yeah. So I'm going to start with the mindset because I think that is the core of everything. The first one is the technology is evolving every minute. Make sure that if you're really serious about being well-informed in this field, make sure that you're very curious and there's so much information available just on the internet. Make sure you read it up. And if there's a certain area that you're interested, for example, in language, there's like a specific natural language processing discipline that you could go into. Stay curious. I think that's really important. The other thing is, I know it sounds tacky, but I really wish that everybody could just be them, because I think there's a reason for everybody to have a specific talent, an interest, a desire, and the world needs a diverse kind of people. It can't have everybody the same way, otherwise we won't really evolve in a good way as a species. So I would love to see everybody get to know themselves better. It takes time. I didn't know anything about myself until I grew older. So it takes time, but give yourself the opportunity to understand yourself. This is actually the best knowledge that you have. And then just embrace who you are and just a little bit go with the flow. So this is my career path. I know it's not the perfect path, even though it doesn't seem logical. And I was lucky, my parents were very supportive. So I just followed my heart 90% of the time. But what I found out is the 90% of the time always lead to something that is maybe not what I plan, but something better. And the 10% of the time, it's usually a detour because you always go back to who you are. So I just really want to encourage young people to embrace their own personality, their talents, and just to give themselves a chance to explore and be happy.
Actually, what you just said reminds me of one of the episodes of Star Trek, Picard, where in that episode, Guinan said that people or humans are stuck in the past because they make mistakes. But because they make mistakes, because of course they are maybe being themselves or not being themselves, and they will commit their mistakes, and they want to fix it. And because you want to fix it, that's why humans are so interesting, because this is how we evolve, by really learning about ourselves, including our mistakes and failures, and really learning more how to be better in that sense.
Yeah. I mean, like babies, you know that they could walk, but then they have to fall before they walk. If you tell them to give up once they fall down, they'll never walk, which is ridiculous. Falling is just understanding how your body balances, and so next time you actually learn more and then you'll be able to walk after a few falls.
And what this reminds me, of course, is that the evolution of humans will also be, or the evolution of artificial intelligence will go along side by side the evolution of human beings. That's what I get from your message.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. And I guess later on, you would see more mention of augmented intelligence. It's how AI technology is augmenting our intelligence and how our intelligence is actually augmenting AI.
Jean, we have, for the last question, I want to ask you to share with our listeners where they can find more information about Being AI and the artificial intelligent beings that you created. And also, of course, once they get more information, how and the best way, like what is the best way to interact with them?
Sure. Please visit our website, www.beingai.com. Our first AI being is called Zeebee. So she's this really curious, adventurous 18-year-old robot that's exploring the world, learning about the human world through interaction with people. So right now we have her on a mobile app, and later on we'll be releasing her so that people could be beta testers to actually interact with her and actually train her to talk to her and then train her through conversation. So for now, we would love if you could just look her up at Zeebee Being in Facebook, Instagram, and just like her and follow her travel journey. Now she's like traveling through the human world.
Thank you so much, Jean, for your time and for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pauline. Really appreciate the time.
And that was Jean Lim, co-founder and CEO of Being AI and former CEO and CMO of Hanson Robotics and co-developer of Sophia the Human-Like Robot. I hope that you took away from this episode several lessons. In my case, these are the lessons that I've learned in this conversation with Jean. First, that it is up to humans to design artificial intelligence or AI the right way for them to establish a positive relationship with people and planet, which can also help them evolve to become better versions of themselves. Second, and related to the aspect of machine learning, which is a subset of artificial intelligence, what I learned is that we need to put great importance on data. That means where we get data, how they are interpreted, and the processes around it. We need to ensure that there is diversity in data and proactively ensure that different cultures, genders, and a lot more are represented in statistics. Third, we learned that for Jean, there are two aspects of governance of AI that we need to look into. The first one is the legal aspect, which touches upon, for example, data privacy. But the other part, which at least for me also is more important, is the moral aspect of governance of AI, which focuses on ensuring that we do not use the AI technology to do harm. There are too many things that are not considered illegal, but are harmful for people and planet, and we should try to shape AI in a way that will not cause harm. We need to be mindful of issues such as gender, race, socioeconomic status, accessibility, cultures, and a lot more when shaping the AI technology so that it can benefit societies in achieving a sustainable future. You can find more of the SDG Learn cast on the UN SDG Learn website. For now, I'm Pauline Duman. Thanks for listening.